You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. Also, a great way to listen to Cleveland Browns Daily no matter where you are in this country or anywhere in the world. And you can listen to past episodes broken up by segment, including Hump Day with KJ, to see what all the fuss is about from Wednesday's episode of CBD. Joined in studio now, Nathan Skirmat, Wilhelm Kid, and Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer. Andrew, Muay Thai training going well, but I hear you're happy to hear that the sales guys have stepped up in this challenge with Mr. Kevin Jones.
I'm glad to kind of refocus on my work ahead and keep churning out articles. I'm ready to go.
And that's why he's a senior staff writer, folks. One of your articles right now on the website, a position recap looking at the linebackers, putting them under the spotlight. And you also had a very good one today from talking with Ray Farmer about the position groups he feels the best about. Linebackers, one of them.
Yeah, you know, I think when you add a guy like Carlos Dansby to your room, I think it just kind of affects everyone. And it kind of starts in the top down. And I think a huge bounce back year from Paul Kruger as well kind of highlighted this group. And then as well, Craig Robertson kind of stepping up. He was already playing a bunch. Then when Dansby goes down, he steps up and just starts racking up tackles, making big plays. And then, you know, you had some Chris Kirksey kind of emerging as one of Cleveland's top tacklers this season. And Barkevious Mingo didn't really put up big numbers, but it seemed like Pettine and the coaches were pretty happy with what he was able to do, doing a lot of stuff that really doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And again, him and both Jabal Sheard were playing hurt the entire season.
Matt, you played linebacker in the National Football League. What did you think of the Browns' linebacking core this year?
I concur with a lot of what Andrew said. I do believe as we move forward that if we can identify a hybrid D-end outside linebacker to kind of create a dual pass rush scenario where Kruger's on one side and you actually have a legitimate pass rush threat on the other side is what it takes to be a great 3-4 defense, because the one thing that I loved about playing in a 3-4 defense is the confusion that you can create by not knowing who's coming. And I think that was, we became very predictable that Kruger was always going to rush and that Mingo was always going to drop.
Yep.
And I think the more diverse that you can grow in this core of guys playing in their second year, they'll only get better and more comfortable, which will allow you to do more. But if you can add another threat, I would love to see that. But overall, you got to love what Dansby brought. And I talked, since the preseason, that Dansby came in talking loud about leadership, talking about what he was going to do, how he felt about himself, and what the Browns defense was going to do. And he backed it up with his play. And I think that's what Cleveland Browns fans want to hear, because for so long, by the organization, by free agents, or by rookie draft picks, they come in talking a big game, and at some point in the season or throughout the season, they're just let down consistently. And I thought that both him and Dante Whitner, as free agents, came in and played like a Brown. And in some cases, that phrase was coined because of their play.
Because of their play, certainly Carlos Dansby, a leader of this team. 12 games, 93 tackles, 3 sacks, an interception, 2 pass deflections. That interception in his first game against Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, as a matter of fact. I thought he played phenomenally well. Paul Kruger played phenomenally well. Jabal Sheard will be a free agent at the end of this year. Played hurt for a lot of the year. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And then I think between Craig Robertson and Chris Kirksey, you have a veteran who knows how to maximize his potential and a young guy who I think the sky is the limit. What was your take on Kirksey's first year in the NFL?
I just think he got better and better as the year went on and got really comfortable. And I think the things you see him do the best, I think, is you see him kind of track those running backs out of the backfield and can stop when they're trying to throw short screen passes. And he's got really good kind of closing speed, I think, stuff like that. And he just being around guys like Robertson and Dansby can only help him. It's kind of similar to Batonio and Thomas. You know, they're around those guys. Anytime you're in the locker room, you always see Kirksey with Robertson, with Dansby. It just being around those guys has made him better. And I think that, you know, we focus a lot on Batonio, how much of a get he was in the second round. But the year Kirksey put up, a very solid acquisition in the third round.
The one other thing that I want to point out is what's actually a luxury for the Cleveland Browns with, you know, Chris Kirksey being the player that he is and having a veteran like Craig Robertson and gain his experience last year, which was tough, but really rise up and play much better both on special teams and as a defender, is by Dansby starting at one position and essentially the two other guys, you know, starting at the other, or Robertson being able to play both positions, you actually gain a roster spot by having three guys instead of having to carry four inside linebackers with, you know, two true Mikes and two true Wills in this case. So you gain a roster spot, and what's great is you allow Dansby to focus on his position and be the leader that he is, but you have the diversity that if one guy goes down, the other two can play either of the inside spots. So it just goes to show, you know, the type of experience that Craig Robertson gained, albeit bad, you know, in 2012. Or 2013, rather, but to come out and play the way he did in spot duty. He made some key plays, some key interceptions, and some very big football games.
Yeah, that kind of depth allowed them at the end of the season, when Gibson went on IR, they put Scott Solomon on the roster, and he immediately produces at that outside linebacker position. They could add to that group, bring in some fresh bodies. And, you know, Solomon looked like a guy who was well-rested and kind of just was flying around the edge, making plays, and really made the most of his last two games with the Browns this season, and someone you can look at going forward to 2015.
When you look at this core, and you mentioned the rush spot, so you can use a special teams guy. That's where Tank Carter kind of made his hay there. What's the one thing you think you need to add to this linebacking group? Is it another pass rusher to work opposite Kruger?
Yeah, and like we've kept saying, it looks like the Browns are set in the middle. I think you like what you have there. You maybe add some depth, kind of produce some competition, especially if you're worrying about injuries or things like that. But I think if there is an area of need within the linebackers, you keep flooding that group with more guys on the outside that can rush the passer, and you find the best ones you can get.
And for me, it doesn't necessarily have to be a draft pick. You know, I wouldn't mind. I know there's pass rushers, you know, all across the league that you can get at a bargain, you know, to bring in as a free agency and just add value, you know, and just, again, to create another force opposite Paul Kruger, because as we saw as the season went on, you know, there were flashes where he'd go two sacks in one game, then you wouldn't see him or, you know, hear his name called for three games, and then he'd flash again. And I think that if you bring another threat as a pass rusher on the other side, you know, you'll have a dual threat, which makes it very difficult for an offense to block.
There's no question. I think you look at Dansby, stud. You're fine in the middle with Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey, that trio. Kruger on one side played incredibly well and seems to be a natural fit. And now Barkevius Mingo, he progressed. They're very happy with him. He can work on the other side, and you probably just want one more outside guy, whether that's bringing back Sheard or finding another pass rusher to develop. But overall, you agree with Ray Farmer that this group is one of the stronger parts of this roster?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's not maybe on the same level as the secondary, but getting very close. And, you know, talking about Mingo, that's a guy who played in college in a 4-3, and it's a big year coming up for him in 2015. I think if he can be healthy and be more comfortable within this defense, he has that potential. I mean, it's what they saw in him, and that's why he was such a high first-round pick.
Yeah, and they liked him in Buffalo. They had wanted to draft him there, and he ends up here. I think, again, very strong unit. The unit's got a lot of leadership. Now it's going to be a unit that, you look at Paul Kruger and Dansby, they're not going to be here forever, but these are guys that certainly can help groom young guys who can come in and continue, but certainly one of the stronger positions on this team. You also talked a little bit about that, or you talked a little bit about your article with Ray Farmer today, identifying three Browns position groups that he feels good about: linebackers, secondary, and O-line.
Yeah, you know, I think he said, he's never really comfortable saying that any position group is doing just fine, because he's always wanting to make it better. And, you know, he identified the linebackers because, as we've talked about, there's like that perfect mix of old wise veteran and Carlos Dansby, kind of a Kruger that's kind of in the prime of his career, and then the young talent of a Kirksey and Mingo. So he likes the mix of that room, and I just think there's kind of a, you see it just in the locker room, just good chemistry, kind of good relationships between those linebackers, and that helps on the field.
I think it certainly does. Andrew, do you think the Browns will attack linebacker at all in the draft or free agency?
I could see a guy or two in free agency and or the draft, but I think that, as we talked yesterday, I think it would be likely to see more attacked on the defensive line when we're looking at the defense.
No question. This Browns defense, very, very good. Ninth in the NFL in scoring defense this year. Top 10 third down conversion rate. Linebackers played a big part in that. And Scott Solomon was a guy who came in at the end of the year, showed a few flashes, was a favorite certainly of the coaches. That game against Carolina highlighted that as well. Stay tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com, because Andrew Gribble, prolific, putting out a lot of good stuff there. Stuff on Joe Hayde and stuff on the general manager, Ray Farmer, all the positions groups. You're through the specialists now. We're just trailing a couple days with the news from Kyle Shanahan last week, kind of setting us back. But we've got the corners, and then the specialists still to come when we kick off next week. So, Andrew, thanks for all the great stuff. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com. Check out his stuff. You can read about the linebackers. Again, I think you'll really like the format. It looks at each position, gives you the raw data, the stats, the rankings, the high, the low, the best play, surprise, surprise. A quote to note, and then a look ahead to 2015, where he tells you who could be added, what he sees there as well. So good stuff, and we'll be back with our second hour with the kid, kicking off with a little Friday forecast here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.